Welcome back to Project Independence in You. I'm Rebecca Miller, your guest host for today. Our co-host is the one and only Gerald Peretzman.
Right.
A.K.A. Jerry.
Right. Absolutely, Jerry.
And Jerry, we've been talking with Ron Fatula about community Medicaid. And before we went to break, we were talking a little bit about qualifying for Medicaid financially. And perhaps you could, you know, talk a little bit about that and give us some examples.
Sure. Absolutely. So in order to qualify for Medicaid home care, and actually this figure is the same for Medicaid in an institution, you can only have $14,850 in assets. Those are liquid assets. But on top of that, you can also have an IRA or any retirement account. Actually, I changed the law on that for Medicaid purposes with a case that I had. It was a New York City case about maybe a dozen years ago, maybe even a little bit more. But after that case, retirement accounts are exempt for the Medicaid program. Medicaid doesn't look at those retirement accounts, but they do count your required minimum distributions as income. And the IRAs or retirement accounts are only exempt if they're in payout status. So at least, you know, the state and the feds are getting your income from the retirement account. So you get to keep $14,850, your retirement accounts in payout status. There are a couple of other types of exempt resources, such as German reparations. We just saw a client that actually got several hundred thousand in German reparations. They were survivors of the Holocaust, unfortunately. And it's a pittance, that whatever they get, but it's at least something. And any reparation payments are not only exempt as income, they're also exempt as assets. So we have our clients get a letter from Germany or Austria or the claims tribunal, and we calculate, we see all the payments that were made over the years, we tally them up, we convert the marks and euros to dollars. That total amount would be exempt for Medicaid. So there are exempt assets for Medicaid on top of the $14,850, the IRAs, German reparations, and a couple of little more esoteric exempt assets.
Well, I'm going to ask, what do you mean specifically about exempt? It means that you can have that money.
And Medicaid won't see it. I mean, they'll see it, but they won't count it. They're non-countable.
In other words, that money is yours.
Correct.
No ifs, ands, or buts.
No ifs, ands, or buts. Medicaid will see it, and they'll say, okay, you have a $500,000 IRA. You're 71 years old. It's in payout status. You need Medicaid home care. And, you know, that $500,000 is exempt. The required distributions, and Medicaid has a special way of determining those distributions that they're going to count, they want to count as income. But the income, the payments from the IRA would be countable as income, and Medicaid only lets you keep, and I'm roughing it out, at $845 of income a month. But don't lose heart. If your income is over the $845, we could actually, on a monthly basis, put that excess or surplus income in a what we call a pooled income trust, and that's exempt. And that income goes in this trust and can be used to pay your expenses at home. So let's say you're living at home in the town of North Hempstead, and you know I live in the town of North Hempstead, and my taxes are not low. know, so the $845 would not even cover my taxes, you know. So how are you going to live at home at $845? Well, the surplus income would go into this trust and could be used to pay your taxes, to pay for maintenance charges if you have a co-op or condominium, and maintenance charges on your home to maintain your home, et cetera, food and clothing and shelter. So you could live at home even if you have surplus income. They don't take every penny. There is planning on that. And I know, Rebecca, you asked for some examples, and I'd love to give you some examples so that your listeners could know how to relate to this. And so let me give you one example. And one example is, let's just take an individual that has $100,000 over the Medicaid asset level, let's say $114,850, and a condominium valued at $400,000. Mm-hmm. Well, if you have real estate, whether it's a house, a co-op, or a condominium, if the equity value is under $840,000, it's exempt for Medicaid purposes. So the condominium is exempt, and we have $100,000 over the $14,000 level. So what could we do? They could just transfer it or gift it out. They could transfer or gift that out, let's say today in February, to a Medicaid Asset Protection Trust, or even outright to the children. The individual could get his assets down to $14,000 or $14,850. And as of the first day of the next month, he'll be eligible for Medicaid home care. Not Medicaid in a nursing home, but Medicaid at home.
So it takes about a month?
Well, you're eligible financially the first day of the very next month.
Okay.
Even though the home, condo, or co-op is exempt if it's under $840,000, we still want to do planning because it's exempt going in, it doesn't mean that Medicaid can't put a lien on it later on. So we want to do a little extra planning with that. But just so you know, see an elder law attorney such as myself or anybody who's qualified, but do the extra little bit of planning. It's very important. May I give another example?
Yes, please.
Okay. So another example is someone, let's say, that has $200,000 in liquid assets, but an IRA, let's say, of $500,000. And a home valued at $840,000. Well, the home is still valued at $840,000, that's exempt, but we should transfer that home into a Medicaid Asset Protection Trust just to preserve it from a Medicaid lien. You get to live in it, you get all of the tax advantages, it could be sold, you could do whatever you want. So the home would be protected, and it's exempt anyway because you're living there and the value is $840,000 or less. The IRA of $500,000, well, as long as you're getting payouts, you know, it's in payout status over your lifetime, and Nassau County calculates that at a certain in a certain way, but as long as we do it a certain way, that IRA, that $500,000 is exempt. But then you have $200,000. We'll just transfer it out, just like in the first example.
Right.
So you will be eligible if you did it this month in February on March 1. No five-year look back, no five-year wait.
Right.
And the last example I would want to give, individual has $500,000 in liquid assets, $300,000 in an IRA, but $1 million house. And we have so many clients with $1 million houses, except they bought them 50 years ago for like $25,000,
right.
And
so
you know,
you
the home's appreciated. So you got to be very careful. You don't want to just transfer that asset out, because when you just gift a home or let's say Apple stock, we saw a client yesterday bought Apple stock, I think 25 years ago, and just held on to it, worth a pretty penny, but huge capital gains.
Yeah.
You know, as a financial advisor, that was one of the very good investments, and Apple stock is hitting some new highs at this point. But when you have a highly appreciated asset, you want to get it out for Medicaid purposes. It should go into this Medicaid trust where it's out for Medicaid purposes, but you get a what we call a basis step up at the time of death.
Right.
So you transfer the home into this trust. Whenever you die, the basis for capital gains purposes doesn't stay at the $25,000 plus capital improvements, you know, what you bought it for.
Okay.
It goes up to the market value. Anyway, so getting back to my example, sorry I drifted a little bit.
No, it's good information. Yeah,
the 500
is Social Security payments concluded? Included as income?
You know, it's a very good question, Jerry. I would like to answer it yes, but the answer is no. It is considered income. I wish it weren't considered income. No one is taxed fully on Social Security. If you have a lot of income, it's taxed up to 85%. But for Medicaid, it's like any other income. So they do count Social Security.
You know, we don't have a lot of time left. We got a few minutes.
I'm sorry about that.
No, no. We should definitely, we're going to need to have you back because there's so much going on. We have about 4 minutes. I just wanted to ask you, so all, you know, there's a lot of information you've provided us, a lot of hope, too, I think, for people that can now, you know, receive community Medicaid. And the services are unbelievable, really.
They're
great. You can't match it. You know, I'm thinking about, so year to year, how does someone need to recertify? And if financial, if things change, how do you, when do we come back to you? What, how do we continue?
Okay, well, once we do the Medicaid application, there is a recertification. And that actually could be done by the client themselves. We do it for our clients that don't want to do them the research themselves. But, you know, you do have that out there. And, you know, may I mention, I'm also co-chairing the board for the Alzheimer's Association in Nassau and Suffolk. And we're actually having a legal and financial seminar coming up at the end of March.
Is that for residents or?
It's for anybody. Anybody. You don't have to be a member. And we're going to have about 4 hours of legal and financial on these issues. We're having a whole community-based segment of it, an institutional Medicaid segment.
How does someone find out about that? Is there a phone number or?
Sure,
maybe?
I could look that up in just a second.
Okay.
But just
call
the Alzheimer's Association Long Island chapter.
No,
they're in Huntington.
In Huntington.
Yeah. And I could get that number for you.
Okay. You know, so there's a lot someone can do. I'm sure, you know, for somebody who's never considered this, hearing about all transferring assets might make someone a little nervous when they hear, you know, well, they have, you know, they may have this money, you know, liquid assets, but if they transfer the assets into a Medicaid-protected fund, as you're as you're talking about, you know, it could scare someone.
Right.
I mean,
right.
How do you kind of relieve some of that?
Well, you know, it depends on the individual. If you're running the marathon and you're healthy and you're well, you're not going to transfer out all of your money.
Right.
You know, but if somebody needs home care right away and you're frail or you're quite elderly and, you know, you do need help bathing and dressing, feeding, if you have lots of money, pay for the home care yourself. I mean, you always have the ability to do that. If you have long-term care insurance, you could pay for it through the insurance. But if you have limited resources, and the reason I gave some examples with people having a couple of hundred thousand in assets, that's not a lot in assets. And if you don't want to go bankrupt or just become impoverished, so you can go on Medicaid, keep some limited resources, and have that money there protected in case you need it for something else.
Okay.
In case you need it for something else. Could it be scary? Yes. But the fact is, you're only going to be doing this for Medicaid home care when you really need it. And so typically the individual is not all that scared because they need the service. And Rebecca, you actually said it's a wonderful thing. And, you know, it's funny. I just, on the way here, I had to call Amex for something because there was I had a dispute about a charge. And, you know, I think that Medicaid and especially Medicaid home care is like a gold card.
Yeah.
You know, for a healthcare gold card, could it provide so much in service? And you can get 24-hour care through the Medicaid program.
Ron, can you believe time is up? We are definitely going to need to have you come back. There's such important information. We're going to take a short break, and we will return for our next segment. This is WCWP.org.